Tannehill County Commission, and we are back from recess. A few gentlemen would like to join us.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, that one right there.
Thanks, Chris.
Our next issue for the County Commission is health preparedness and updates with the Taney County Health Department and Emergency Management. I'll let you gentlemen identify yourselves for the record, and then we'll move forward.
Robert Niscota, I'm the Director of the Taney County Health Department.
Chris Behrendt with Taney County Emergency Management.
Good morning.
Good morning. We just wanted to provide you with some updated information about how the various agencies in Taney County are preparing for, the possibility of somebody traveling from West Africa and arriving in the county with Ebola. From our perspective, we think that it's a low probability event, but, we do look at, worst case scenarios and how best to prepare for those, and I think we've had several meetings with the, from the health department's perspective, several meetings with emergency management, with EMS, with Cox Branson, Stone County Health Department, and various other agencies, law enforcement, fire department, and we have planned meetings with the schools, superintendents here in the next several days, as well as with the College of Ozarks, and, I think the community is taking a very level-headed approach. We're kind of avoiding a lot of the hysteria that's kind of out there about this. It is a possibility, but I don't think that it's something that is, we have to really hype up. We have a lot of travelers here from around the country, around the world, and from the health department's preparedness. We respond to a lot of outbreaks with norovirus and other things, and with the community partners and our level of general preparedness, I think that we're quite prepared for this. There's always additional things to look at and to improve. Ebola is not something that we generally have to worry about here in Missouri, but because of the large epidemic that's going on in West Africa and with the medical workers that are returning, missionaries, Peace Corps workers, other people that are returning from that part of the world, it quite possibly could be that somebody ends up here in Taney County or regionally in Springfield or wherever that could end up being hospitalized and tested for Ebola. And what would happen then is that we do have a public information joint information center that's being organized and set up to respond to that. I think that if there's even a negative case or a case that we're potentially thinking about testing, there's going to be a big media response here in Taney County. Just for the popularity of Branson and that media message, that would be a big story if something like that were to happen in this area, whether it's in Stone County or Taney County, there'd be a big media presence. So that alone would necessitate a response on our part. Now, if we got to the point where there was actually somebody that was, highly suspected, a high-risk person that is symptomatic in Taney County or Stone County, then there'd be a lot of other process that would be in place. But we have worked with the Taney County Ambulance District, and they have a protocol in place about how they would work with dispatch in order to triage calls. A lot of the symptoms of Ebola are very similar early on to flu, norovirus, and thousands of other viruses and bacterial diseases. So they're really nonspecific. So you can't tell unless you start asking those questions about travel history. And they do have a process where they're going to look at travel history, identify cases, and then respond appropriately. They're going to coordinate with healthcare. They're going to coordinate with emergency management. If they do have even a suspect situation, they're going to contact me, and we're going to talk with Chris, and there'll be a response. So, and there is a process with the hospitals, how they would receive it. And it's, you know, I think that the agencies are working very well together, and this process is just coming together really nicely. So we are reviewing what happened in Dallas and what happened in New York, as well as a lot of the other cases where things are either being responded to or there's people that are flying back and, you know, with different situations with them. And we're learning from those, and we're making sure that what happened in those places, we're kind of looking locally how we can not have those occurrences happen here. You know, the pitfalls that they're seeing, we're going to see if we can take measures to not encounter those here. Do you guys have any questions about any specific issue with emergency response or with Ebola or anything like that?
Chris, do you have comments?
No, I don't think so. I think Robert covered most of it. It is just, for me, and particularly in emergency management, we just want to make sure we have a coordinated effort, that not somebody knows something that we're withholding from somebody else if should something happen. And then the other big thing is that we use the correct level of protection if it should happen, because obviously we've seen both ends of that happening, that people way overdid it and then people didn't have enough. And so we're making sure that particularly emergency first responders, the hospital seems to work on this also a lot, so they seem pretty good shape on this. But so my concern is more outside the hospital, and you know, how do we transport and how that happens. But we worked a lot with the ambulance district on that, and I think we feel like we have pretty good understanding of everything. As time progresses, more and more information is available too. What really are some ways you could transmit the disease, and so we're learning a lot. We continue to monitor, particularly Robert monitors a lot, and we obviously here on the emergency management side things too. And we just probably the biggest thing right now we do is make sure we have a lot of information sharing going on, and make sure that everybody knows what their role is should this happen. And hopefully it will never happen, and we're just going to be that much better off by working together and preparing for this should something else come up sometime.
Robert, have any of these findings, directions, thoughts been reduced to writing, or are we?
We do have the EMS protocols, for instance, they are in writing. I can forward those to you guys. We are looking at some guidance for different groups in the community. We have, for instance, our office, a process where, you know, if somebody comes in with these nonspecific symptoms, we'll be able to ask them some questions and see if we need to even consider them a case for Ebola or whatever. Really, the reason behind that would be a lot of the messages that have been going out to people returning from Africa, that, you know, if you're returning from Africa, you need to notify your health department. So this could be a possibility that somebody shows up in our office, you know, either by phone call or, you know, in person, that, you know, says, oh, I just got back from West Africa. Well, you know, we'll talk with them and see if they're actually a risk or what. And, you know, I think if you look at, you know, the continent of Africa, it's a very large place. The countries that have the actual cases in the outbreak, it's about the size of Georgia, you know. So it's very easy for people to travel in West Africa or Central Africa or East Africa or South Africa and be hundreds, if not thousands of miles from where the cases are actually occurring. There's no risk there. They're fine. So we really just need to talk to the person and find out exactly where they traveled and what they were doing when they were there. You know, if somebody had no contact with people, even if they were in one of the countries with the current outbreak, we would want to find out what exactly they were doing there. You know, a healthcare worker that was working with the actual patients, you know, they're going to be a higher risk. But if there were a healthcare worker that was working with the policy and the, you know, level decisions with an administrator and you know, the government or something like that, they probably had no contact whatsoever with an Ebola patient, so they would be a really low risk, and we would just have to talk with them. So,
we're thankfully far removed from where this horrible,
exactly
horrible thing is taking place with Ebola. I had a procedure done a week ago Friday in Springfield, and it was refreshing, however, to be asked a series of questions about Ebola before the procedure was done. It kind of made me feel good to be asking the questions. So.
Yeah, and everybody's being proactive. The CDC does have new guidelines in terms of returning travelers from those countries. They will only be allowed in the country through 5 or 6 airports. They'll be asked very specific questions at that point and screened. And those people will be tracked to their final destination. And once they get, you know, for instance, if we had a person that was returning home from West Africa and they come to Tini County, we'd be notified through the state by the CDC, and then we'd go through a process, we'd monitor their health. So at this point, you know, just monitoring somebody in the community, it's a concern, but really you have to do a little digging and find out exactly what that person was doing over there to gauge what type of risk they actually pose. So right now we haven't had that situation come up. It's just something that we're preparing for, and I think it'll be with the guidance the CDC has given us, it's going to be, for the most part, a fairly straightforward process. But with this, there's always something that comes up out of the blue that we have to make, plans for when we encounter it. So it's just kind of hard to anticipate everything, every possibility. So, and when the Joint Information Center, once that group is starting to send out more messages, we'll make sure the commissioners all are on that loop, and those messages will be coming out on a fairly regular basis. Situational reports, updates, those sorts of things. If you guys see, once you get this information, if there's any questions that you need answered or you know, you're wondering about, just feel free to contact us, and we'll be able to give you what information you need. If you have any people from the community that's contacting you, feel free to refer them to the health department, and we can answer their questions. At this point, it's just a process of preparing the health department and other response partners in the community. But you know, this, you know, we may not see anything from this, so it's just a precaution at this point.
So. I'm glad you guys are proactive as opposed to reactive. So.
Oh, definitely, and I think that's just the way all the agencies in this community, their philosophy is exactly that, is being proactive. It's better to, you know, prepare for something where you're not in the emergency mode versus, you know, trying to be reactive.
Thank you, guys.
Well, thank you, gentlemen, very much for this update.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Welcome.
Appreciate it. Insurance discussion. Would you all like to join us? Just for the record this morning, if I could have you all introduce yourselves for our recording.
Linda Sorensen, Human Resources, Taney County.
Dan Ruggieri, partner at EBD.
I know that, what was it, about a week ago when we had discussions regarding insurance and we went into exec to talk specifics. We're also scheduled today that if, in fact, we choose to go in talking about contracts that we can, we were stand in recess for just a moment.